Life's getting better.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Chris O'Brien here live, not Memorex, not on a cell phone, absolutely here and ready to rock and roll. You know, since we did that episode a few weeks back with Nancy Talbot, the crop circle researcher, and Robert Vandenbroek, the alleged psychic, you know, most of the response has been pretty positive, but one person posted a review on iTunes. Understand, iTunes, you never know what you're going to get. Usually, the people who hate you the most will post their remarks on iTunes. This one says that the problem he had, or she had, I'm not sure which, is that I asked too many questions. I didn't just let Vandenbroek and Nancy Talbot talk.
Jeez, doesn't matter what we do, Gene. Someone's going to complain about something, obviously.
I think you're successful if both sides hate you.
Well, I prefer to get everybody to like me as opposed to hate me, but...
Well, that's show business. You're in the wrong business if you think you can get away with that.
I've been doing pretty good so far. I mean, this whole business with these controversial shows bringing out the... I don't know. It seems to bring a quality of listenership out that posts on the forums, and they really get into it. And then we have a show like this current show with the guy representing Pine, the New England Paranormal Investigator Group, and you hear nary a whisper. He was skeptical. He's very grounded, very objective. And, you know, we got one or two responses, and then you bring someone like Robert Vandenbroek on, and there's hundreds of responses because of the controversial nature of... Maybe we should just create a whole new type of radio programming called Tabloid Paranormal.
Well, I think that's already there, but the difference is that we don't just let people talk. We will ask them questions, you know, like, hey, wait a minute, would you justify this? Would you explain that? I think, for example, one of the best interviews we had on the show was the one that we did with Scott and Suzanne Ramsey. And I think we were very even-handed, giving them a really fair chance to present their evidence.
Yeah.
But I kept moving them in a direction to say, okay, justify this, explain that. I don't understand this. And there's still some areas I don't understand about the case. And that's something which I think maybe we can never resolve. At the same time, they have people who claim to have witnessed a crashed saucer there. And even just a couple of eyewitnesses, that's enough to say, well, something happened.
Yeah. But the priest blessing the burnt aliens, I was scratching my head when I heard that one.
Well, obviously he wasn't making up something. But I had this other theory, and it was based on this article that James Carrion had come out with. Now, James Carrion was a former international director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. And he had, shall we say, a less than favorable departure from them. They evidently didn't agree with him on some issues, and supposedly they didn't like the way he handled their money. And, you know, I'm not going to try to guess who's talking about
No, it was Bigelow and his bunch that didn't like the way that Carrion handled the money that they paid him, and he gave it to MUFON.
Well, that's the point right there. That was one key issue. A lot of it was out of the Bigelow episode. But you know what? They didn't kiss and make up with Robert Bigelow after he left.
Well, that we know of.
Well, nothing they've said about. But the one thing that was interesting about what he said is that he had the feeling that at least some UFO cases reported during that era of the late 40s, maybe even early 50s, were put there by the military or intelligence people not to prepare us for alien visitations, but to spook the Russians.
Disinformation for the Russians and freak the Ruskies out.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, That makes a lot more sense to me than little aliens coming from Zeta Reticuli and being brought down by radar.
What's even more peculiar is the Aztec case, where they weren't brought down by anything. The only damage they could see was a hole in the porthole. And then they see these burnt bodies of something or other. How were they burned? The possibility I voiced is, you know what? Maybe this was a test aircraft. Maybe the size was wrong, because we're having people remember what they saw 50, 60 years ago, and maybe 25 feet becomes 50 or 100 feet. And then maybe these were just burnt dummies and the real pilots were somewhere else in the ship.
That's very highly possible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't pretend to know. I'll tell you that.
Well, but they did. You're right, though. The Ramses did a very good job in representing years and years of research, lots of digging. Obviously, there's always going to be unanswered questions when you have a case that old. All your primary witnesses, for the most part, are gone. So, you know, we just have to move on and hope that the aliens mess up and, you know, crash, like, maybe in the suburb of Washington, D.C. or something. That'd be a news story.
Oh, it'd be nice if that happened. You know, I could dig that if there was even the slightest hope that would happen, but I don't believe it's going to happen that easy. You know, things are never that easy in the UFO field.
No, it's built in. That's kind of a, I don't know, that's sort of a, just what you have to expect is you're never going to get it easy.
And as far as the Ramses are concerned, well, it could have been E.T. It could have been government testing of a new aircraft. It could have been disinformation. I have no idea. And in the end, how are we ever going to find out?
I don't know. I'm spending $500,000 on a, you know, kind of a Don Quixote expedition against windmills. I'm not sure if I could do that again. I kind of already did it in the San Luis Valley in the 90s, and I'm really, really hesitant to spend a lot of resources, effort, time, and energy on field investigations for such old, under, you know, water under the bridge type cases. I mean, something new and compelling, breaking, yeah, I'll expend all my energies and exhaust all efforts to dig into a particular case. But something that old, I don't know. You really have to want it to really dig into it.
You have to have something that looks like it might be a smoking gun. Of course, Kevin Randall and several other people have the so-called, he doesn't like the term, dream team to check Roswell. We'll have to see what happens. Meantime, over the past few months, you've been a busy, busy bee. What you been up to?
Well, I've got a lot of really cool things going on, as, you know, most of our listeners, faithful listeners who tune in every week. I do have the San Luis Valley Sky Camera Project, Skywatch, and we are in the final stages of putting together our second camera, which will be the first of the larger regional triangulated arrays. This one is going to be up on a 12,000-foot mountain. It's going up on a NPR radio station tower. The Forest Service and the and OSHA made them double the height of their tower because they were irradiating the ground with their transmitter. So,
oh yeah, gotta get all the EMF coming your way.
Right. So they're now, instead of a 70, you know, 4 foot tower, they're gonna have a 150-foot tower, and we're gonna be about 2/3 of the way up.
So now, of course, it's farther away. They won't fry your brain as quickly.
Well, it's on top of a 12,000-foot mountain, and the only thing they get fried is some stunted aspen trees and maybe some elk that wander up there, maybe a rock marmot or two. It's way up. It's the largest freestanding mountain in North America, so it's kind of isolated from everything else. But, boy, I'll tell you, there's a view up there that just is jaw-dropping.
I'll tell you what, we're going to get into more of that on future episodes. Today, David Ferrant from his home in the United Kingdom talks to us. Of course, he was involved in such cases as the Highgate Vampire. Of course, vampires are big now. We have a new season of True Blood coming out. So that's going to be fun. But we'll talk about, in general, all the research he's done and ask some of the questions you've asked in the PowerCast forums. I want to give this special thank you to Blue Sky Music because they're responsible for the opening and closing theme for the PowerCast. That's BlueSkyMusic.com. Once again, BlueSkyMusic.com. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
This is typical for many companies these days. Your colleagues work at home. Your colleagues are traveling for business. But you need to get everyone together for an important corporate meeting. Well, I have a solution for you, neighbors. Go to Meeting with HD Faces. You see, this way your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where in the world they are. And it takes only seconds to set up. You see, GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Of course, you need a computer with HD. We assume you have that. You want to see how easy GoToMeeting with HD Faces is? Well, my listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST to get that free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with Eat Foods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. Eat Foods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with Eat Foods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home cooked meals, you can cut your food cost in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. Or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More of the best or less guaranteed.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
David Farrant joins us from his palatial estate in the UK. Is it a palatial estate, or am I just making something up? David?
Oh, certainly. You asked me, is it a palatial estate?
And he had to think about it for
hardly,
a moment.
He's, no, hardly.
It's, okay, it's a two-room flat.
No, it's three, actually.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
Yeah, no, it's three.
Okay, we'll accept that.
You can take my word for that. It's not a dingy bed, sis, as some people describe it on the internet anyway.
Well, what they say about my house, you don't want to know.
I can imagine if it's anything like what they say about my house here.
Eugene, you have a nice apartment. I mean, your new apartment is really nice.
Well, to be absolutely serious with you, it is a very nice apartment here. It overlooks Highgate Woods just across the road, and I can see all over London out my back window, right up to Epping Forest, which is about 15, 20 miles away. So I'm quite happy. I mean, I was actually born in Highgate quite a long time ago, and I've lived here all my life. So I'm quite happy where I am, Gene.
Beautiful part of London, and one of my favorite Genesis songs is called The Battle of Epping Forest, which you can see right out your window.
Well, in the distance, and it's got to be a clear day too, but yes, I can see Epping Forest, yeah. I've been there quite a few times, so it's got quite a few hauntings in it.
Oh, that will be a story we're going to have to ask about. All right, that sounds fascinating. But let's talk about a subject that you've become fairly well known around the world about. But to begin, and to emphasize it, these days, things about vampires are popular. We have the TV show True Blood. You've seen that in your country, haven't you?
I don't think I've seen that one. I've certainly seen episodes of Buffy the Vampire Hunter, yeah.
Okay, well, just by the way, the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the guy who directed The Avengers, that very popular movie. Shows you where he's gone with his career. But True Blood is based on a series of novels about things happening, you know, in and around the Deep South in the United States. And, you know, it's werewolves, it's shapeshifters, it's vampires.
I have heard about it, Gene. I just haven't actually seen it. That's what I meant.
What is our endless fascination about vampires all about? Is it living forever?
Blood.
You mean, apart from blood, you mean to live forever? Yeah, I'm quite sure that a lot of young people, and there are a lot of these vampiroid clubs springing up, especially in America. But I say springing up, they started in 1990. Clubs, and they just go together. They're young people. They like to dress up as vampires. But they even put the plastic fangs in, and they just drink red wine, and they sit around talking, and they go to theatres, and they just go to events, and they go on excursions. To them, I think it's just a way of life. If you were to ask me what motivates them, I would probably agree with what I heard you say, that it's not so much blood, but it's a sort of a yearning to, well, if you like, almost to live forever, to overcome death. But having said that, I still think it remains basically a myth. And I think a lot of those people, and they are quite nice people. I mean, I've met them in person. I've been to their meetings too, only as a guest, I hasten to add. I think they're just sort of striving for something beyond what they see as the material world and all its violence and all its hypocrisy and all that sort of thing.
Well, there's also sexual aspect of it. And the reason I say that is even Bela Lugosi, he was considered very much kind of a sex symbol who seduced women in, of course, the 30s and everything when he did those movies.
I was just going to say, at that period of time, you know, let's remember when he did those movies, that was really the start of the movie era, wasn't it, into vampires. Well, the very beginning, and of course it was all in drab, black and white. And
well, Nosferatu is one of the, I think, the creepiest films of all time. It's just a classic.
Sure, I agree with that. But I'm just going to say it sort of evolved from that. Then a few decades later, Hollywood got involved. I mean, it all got turned into Technicolor, didn't it? And you could see the red blood and the white fangs, and it started getting more and more daring. With the young ladies on it in very low-cut nightgowns and all the rest of it. And
do you think that was the Anne Rice influence?
I'm absolutely sure it was.
If you really look at the resurgence of interest in vampires in the last 25 years, 30 years, you just have to automatically go right to Anne Rice and the the Lestat interview with the vampire, that whole series, I think. And that really did bring in this very mesmerizing, dreamlike, eroticism that you see in all these shows now in these movies.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Hey, that's very good. You know, someone who agrees with us is basically really high on our list of favorite people. So we're glad that you agree with us because, you know, a lot of people don't agree with us. I mean, Don Ecker agrees with us on occasion, but, you know, that's an exception.
Yeah, only so far. I mean, we haven't started talking about vampires yet, have we?
We're going to get there, yeah. We're just kind of giving an introduction here about how vampires, despite, you know, the blood stuff, which is kind of disgusting, you know, you've got the sex and the very attractive people who play vampires. So this is something that goes on. In fact, one show that originated in your country called Being Human involves a vampire, a ghost, and a werewolf trying to just be like regular people. There's an American version of the show right now, but it became popular trying to be like regular people, trying to integrate vampires into our society. But obviously, you got interested in vampires partly because of the Highgate vampire that we want to understand for listeners who haven't followed the story. But where did you first become curious about vampires, or is that what drew you in?
You know, it's really a very long story, and I can't sort of explain it in 2 minutes. Where did I become interested in vampires? I don't wish to disappoint anybody, but you know, Gene, I've never, ever accepted the existence of blood-sucking vampires. That is the type of vampire that's commercialized and you see in the Hollywood films, well, and in the British Hammer horror movie films. I just don't think, quite frankly, that sort of being, that sort of supernatural being exists. While this is where a lot of confusion's come in the past, because while I'm a psychic investigator and I investigate quite a few different types of unexplained phenomena, I've never accepted that that commercialized type of vampire really has any existence, except out of the films, outside the films of maybe Hollywood, or as the young people want to sort of believe in it, if you like, as a sort of a way of life. But if it comes,
well, it's become a cultural meme. It's running roughshod over where the whole myth of a vampiric type creature comes from, and it's been glamorized into this this kind of glitzy Hollywood
romantic
version.
Ideal. We have David Ferrant, and we're exploring psychic phenomena and the Highgate vampire and other stuff coming up next on
The Pillcast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Fake Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid, proven plant protection, guaranteed or your money back.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Ali-C and Ali-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Ali-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Ali-Van has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Ali-C or Ali-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Of course, since David Farrant, our guest on the Paracast this week, is a friend of Don Ecker, we felt that we should have his presence even if it's recorded. Fair enough?
It's fine by me anyway.
Okay. Are we maybe over-romanticizing the legends of vampires? I mean, you know, we go back to Vlad the Impaler, and supposedly he was a mass murderer. That's not very romantic.
Yes, but that, what you say is actually fact. I mean, that's become established as legend. I mean, he was supposed to have put to death thousands upon thousands of people and impaled them on stakes and left them to die slowly. And then some people have argued that that's where the myth of the vampire actually came from. Others have sort of said it started with Bram Stoker. But let's remember, I mean, this case, these cases of so-called vampirism do go back into history. I mean, even in medieval times, people actually believed that this vampire-like creatures existed. And they actually used to, if someone was suspected of being a vampire, they actually used to open a coffin and nail them into it.
It was almost like the Salem witch trials here in the United States. They believed someone was a witch or a supernatural creature, they would kill them.
Well, yes, that is it really, yeah. But then again, you could go on to say that primitive belief or that subconscious fear of the unknown, which includes vampires, of course, is part of our sort of heritage.
Yeah, it's cross-cultural. You'll find it in all cultures.
You'll find it all over the world in different cultures, whether they're so-called civilized or whether they're not so civilized. But I think that instinctive fear of the unknown, including vampires, and including werewolves if it comes to that, has always been a part of human nature. And, you know, I don't really think that belief, that fear of vampires, werewolves, the unknown in general, and I also include in that witchcraft, that terrible word which I don't really like using, but that is believed even in modern, so-called modern times, in so many different countries and by so many different cultures all over the world today. It might have become more civilized. That is true. I mean, we no longer burn witches in marketplaces. But, you know, we think little, probably nothing, with attributing to them the same crimes and absurdities of which they were accused so long ago. For example, if the crops failed in the local community, it was all witch's fault. They had to find someone to blame and to even put in prison or even execute. So that fear, I think, has always been a part of human nature. And I don't think fear of the unknown has changed that drastically, even in the so-called 21st century. But going back to vampires, well, all I can say there is that I think it includes that the belief in vampires is just a part of it. It's only a fraction. Going back to what I said, that I do not accept the existence of blood-sucking vampires.
Okay, we're speaking in the sense here, David, of a supernatural being. But what about a crazy person who tries to drink someone's blood or the blood of an animal?
Gene, how about the guy in Miami that was shot eating another guy's face last week? I mean, dang, that's pretty rude.
Well, I don't even have, this might surprise people, I don't even have a television and I don't even buy newspapers. But now and again, I get the headlines on my AOL thing when I'm looking for stuff. And I actually saw that. Wasn't somebody, I only skimped it, but wasn't there a naked man on some motorway who'd been murdered and they found a man attempting to eat his face or something like
no,
that?
No, he had eaten his face and they shot him when he refused to stop towards the end of the face-eating process.
Oh, I didn't actually realize that he'd actually eaten the man's face completely. I thought he just attempting to do it. But
No. And there are pictures on the internet, which, of course, somebody had to send me, which don't leave much room for interpretation.
No, of course not, no. But wouldn't you say, though, that is a case of not so much of supernatural entities being involved, because it's a very human...
I hope not. Whatever supernatural entity that got involved in that particular episode, I would not want to know about. But, no, that was probably some drug-induced psychosis, I would suspect. But it rings home the horror and the fascination, that rubbernecking at the traffic accident, that quality in humanity that is titillated by blood, by the idea of eternal youth, let's say. These are all concepts which, you know, are very, very deep in the collective. And I think Hollywood has done a very, very good job and is doing even a better job of tapping into these deep-seated fascinations in the collective. And I think that's what we're seeing. They're tapping into age-old, deep-rooted archetypes in our collective.
Yes, they are. It's all a part of the collective, if you like, human unconsciousness. I mean, blood has... I'm probably telling you the obvious here, but blood has always been considered to be symbolic of the life force. Ancient people used to believe the life force was actually contained in the blood, hence this old thing about sacrifice. If you shed the blood, the life force was released, albeit temporarily, or in some cases permanently. And the people that performed these rituals thought they could have some control over that life force once it was released from the body by means of sacrifice. And all that, I think you have to take all that into account too. But I think it's very important that blood has always been associated with the life force of human beings.
Right, and blood is being ritually spilled right now as we speak. Every day, thousands and thousands of animals are slaughtered ritualistically for religious or belief-styled purposes.
We won't
even talk about the millions of animals that are slaughtered every month for food, but blood is ritualistically utilized every day all around the world.
It is, and as you said, the very people that sort of bring that to attention are the very people that go home and have roast beef for dinner or hamburgers or roast pork or roast lamb. All those animals have to be killed to satisfy sort of human needs, if you like, food.
Well, David, are you a vegetarian or do you still have the hamburgers?
I'm not a vegetarian. I tend to avoid meat if I can help it. But if I'm invited for dinner and someone puts a cooked dinner in front of me, which has been prepared for a few hours, I will eat it.
But try and avoid. You like your steak and kidney pie, though, right?
No, I don't really like meat that much, to be honest. I'm being truthful here. I really don't. I do try to avoid meat. It's not so much for moral reasons. I'd be absolute hypocrite if I said that, because I'm like the next person, I've got to eat. But the actual meaning of killing, if you like, animals, I've never agreed with that. And certainly not cruelty to animals. For no apparent reason, otherwise to satisfy the human appetite.
Kosher meat, Gene. Do you know what makes meat kosher? Besides being blessed by a rabbi, do you know the actual ritual that's involved there?
Believe me, I haven't read about that since I was a child, which is so many centuries ago.
You should look into that.
I don't want to get too gruesome here, but I mean, I have heard that in some of these rituals, I mean, in most of them, animals are killed, obviously. Cows are hung up by their back legs and they're killed with a bolt. But I understand in some cultures, or they actually hang the animal up, and the blood, and they cut the throat while the animal is still alive and the heart is still beating. The idea being that that's got to be done that way, because the heart has got to pump out all the blood from the body of the animal.
I'd rather not think how it's done. If I have a hamburger, and I do from time to time, I would not choose to want to think the process.
How about this, Gene? Here's an idea. Everybody who wants to be a meat eater has to be licensed. And in order to get a license, you go through a three-day workshop.
I'll tell you what.
Exactly.
We'll discuss the three-day workshop with Bella O'Brien. We have David Ferrand, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Pentecost.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children. Stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own healthcare decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling, and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Well, I have to ask whether the imitation of Dracula that Chris O'Brien does is good. I know the last person who did an imitation was, of course, none other than Brad Steiger. He was here 3 or 4 years ago. He had a book out about vampires. And I introduced him with that particular imitation.
Well, Nick Redfern tries to imitate me. Whoa. Well, he tries to mock me, I think would be more accurate.
He's mocking you, yes.
Yeah.
David, I know that you don't know what the heck we're talking about. Let's go back to this. So, Chris, you think that before we eat meat, we got to take the 3-day course, after which we will all become vegetarians.
Well, in that 3-day course, what we do is we see, you know, the whole process from the animal being taken from wherever it's, you know, growing up, all the way through to when it arrives in styrofoam wrapped in saran wrap in your grocery store. And I'll bet you instantly that you could probably look at 40 to 50% of Americans becoming vegetarians. Now, I can't talk for people in other countries, but at least in America, because we are so numb and so inured to how things happen, what the processes are, especially when it comes to meat, rendering meat, preparing meat, adding, you know, the pink slime, the ammonia, the other things that go into meat to keep it fresh for longer so it doesn't spoil and become, you know, a bad investment. I think if people went through a 3-day course like that, it instantly 50-60% of America would probably become vegetarian.
And a lot of people would be out of work as a result, but we're not going to get into the meat industry. That's beyond what we're doing. Let me just ask you in a peripheral sense. We understand the romanticism of vampires, David. We'll ask you what the Highgate vampire is all about in a moment. But what about werewolves? Do we just want to have the ability to change ourselves into something else?
Well, I'm sorry to be disappointing tonight, but I'm afraid I believe in werewolves even less than I do in vampires, Gene. I'm not saying that there were not, obviously I'm telling you the obvious here, that there were not physical ailments which could have caused people to believe people were werewolves in times gone by. I mean, you've only had to look at the case of the Elephant Man, which is quite well known. It's not quite the same thing, but people were born deformed, some of them terribly deformed. And, you know, that could be another main reason how these stories about werewolves started to become, got into circulation. It was a lack of medical understanding. But if you're asking me if I believe that can men or can a man or woman change into a wolf or a she-wolf? No, I'm afraid I don't accept that. I don't think it's possible. I was just trying to explain that I don't believe it's possible for a wolf to change into a human being or vice versa, rather a human being turn into a wolf. I believe it's a physical impossibility. And again, I can only say that it's probably down to lack of medical understanding, at least in the olden times, about what really caused this, these deformities.
So it was all about deformities as opposed to the belief that someone who's normal will change into another creature. Aren't there legends of shapeshifters, though, when you look into tricksters and things like that, Chris?
Yes, there are. In fact, there are people today that are being accused of being able to shapeshift into animal forms on the Southwest Indian reservations. I recently attended a talk by two Navajo rangers, and they described a couple of cases that were quite mind-bending in terms of people being shot. Originally, it's an animal that shot, in one case, a coyote, and when the rancher goes out there, he finds a human, and there's track evidence, there's physical evidence that suggests that shape-shifting is a possibility, at least in the eyes of indigenous law enforcement. So we can't totally discount the possibility, I think, at this point, based on the body of evidence that is out there. But I agree with David that most of these legends and you know, these tapping into to archetypal fears and that sort of thing, I think have evolved from a place of ignorance and a place of non-rational thinking.
Well, what Chris had just said, that's exactly what I was saying, yeah, that it's a sort of an old misunderstood belief, that's all. But there's a physical, there's a natural reason for it, and I don't believe we should automatically just attribute something supernatural to it.
Speaking of what is or is not supernatural, who or what is or was the Highgate Vampire?
Well, that's a loaded question, but okay.
That's what we're here for, by the way, loaded questions, David.
Okay. I'll tell you what it was not. It certainly was not a blood-sucking vampire. There was an unexplained phenomena which had been cited by many local people over the course of a few years at in and around Highgate Cemetery, not only in Highgate Cemetery itself, but in the old ancient lane that runs alongside the cemetery called Swain's Lane, and a few of the old coaching inns in Highgate Village, where the same figure had been sighted on different occasions by different people. All these sightings were independent, they were all reported, but the sort of the crux, if you like, the heart of these sightings seemed to be Highgate Cemetery. In the late 60s, I'm going back now to about 68, reports started to come in of this tall, dark figure, and sometimes it was reported as having hypnotic red eyes by many different people who saw it independently, usually around the catacombs in Highgate Cemetery itself. I'm trying to summarize it really quickly because the case is far too numerous to mention all in detail, but basically the figure would appear in front of unsuspecting people who weren't expecting to see it. There would be drops in temperature, and some people even reported that they felt as though they were being hypnotized once they actually looked up and saw the apparition itself.
It sounds like a ghost, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, albeit a very malign one.
It sounds like Bela Lugosi.
Boy, no, I think he's dead by this time. No.
Let's see, Lugosi officially died in 1956. During the filming of one of the worst films ever called Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic, isn't it? I've never seen Plan 9 from Outer Space. I think I've seen a couple of clips from it, but yeah.
They showed Lugosi playing this old man who would be using his cape and covering his eyes like a vampire. And then when he died, they hired somebody else who sort of looked like him to continue to play the role. The filming continued after he died. Doesn't matter if one of your stars is dead. That's how it goes. We'll have somebody else play the role. Okay, so, all right, so they're seeing this individual creature apparition at the Highgate Cemetery, is it just something that just moves around or what?
Well, as I said to you, it used to appear all of a sudden in front or behind old people.
Okay, so you're just looking and there it is.
Well, they weren't expecting it. That's the whole point. But it would appear, yes, without any apparent reason or without any apparent cause.
Now, once they saw it, was it a stationary thing or entity, or did it move around?
No, it wasn't often reported as moving, but it certainly was reported as just disappearing quite suddenly after it had been sighted. And it's almost as if this entity, whatever it was, wanted people to be aware of its presence. As I said to you, some people even got the impression that they were trying to be manipulated. Now, when I say manipulated, I mean psychically manipulated. One man even reported that he felt he was being hypnotized, that this ghost, if you like, this apparition, was somehow trying to take possession of him. And it was all cases like this that really made me and other members of the British Psychic and Occult Society back in 1968 to try and look into the matter further.
Now, okay, this is very interesting, trying to possess you or something like that. Obviously, it gets to be pretty freaky, and I'm going to want to ask you more about that. Let's take a few seconds to pull this off. If you want to get in touch with us, there are several ways. One is to write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. On Twitter, we are The Paracast, @TheParacast on Twitter, if you want to send us a tweet, or check our forums, forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, we have David Ferrant. You're in
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.